Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The state's plans to increase the size of our national parks has been strongly criticised by some farmers, with one group demanding that plans to expand them should immediately cease. Now, this follows a number of recent land acquisitions by the National Parks and Wildlife Service, including over 600 acres beside the Connemara National Park earlier this year. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by Phelan Molloy, President of the Irish Natura Hill Farmers Association, and Malcolm Noonan, who's Green Party Senator and former Minister of State. And you're both welcome to the programme. Phelan, I want to start with you. I mean, the government clearly wants to increase the size of the national parks. You want those plans to stop, though. Why?
Yeah, this is an issue that actually has been raised on a continual basis with us at meetings that we have had. Now, if you just look at the purchases that have occurred over the last number of years, in 2020, there was 8 different parcels of land purchased, totaling about 272 acres. In 2021, there was 3 parcels, 83 acres. 2022, there was 2 parcels, and that was about 10 acres. But in 2023, there were 17 parcels in total purchased, coming to a total of about 1,520 acres. Now, that's a substantial area land. And what's actually the concern is that these lands are being bought up at the expense of young farmers, because we have evidence that the farmers in those areas, and these purchases would be taking place right down along the west coast, Galway, Sligo, down Kerry and that, those purchases are actually at the expense of young farmers getting access to land.
And Phelan, can I ask you, are you aware that there are young farmers who went up against the state, if you like, to try to buy that land, but were pushed out because the state had more firepower when it came to making the purchase?
Yeah, that's the information that we have. We have definite information on a number of occasions where there was parcels of land becoming available for sale, and young farmers, local farmers, were interested in those parcels, but unfortunately, they just were outbid. And, you know, from a generational renewal perspective, and, you know, generation renewal is a massive issue nowadays. If those parcels of land are being denied to local young farmers, I mean, it's going to cause problems further down the line. Because if you just look at the moment, the
I suppose if you don't have the land, you can't pass it on. Phelan, I'm going to come to Malcolm, and I'll come back to you in a moment. But Malcolm, I'm sure when you were minister in the last government and you funded the National Parks and Wildlife Service to buy this land, this is a byproduct or a side effect that you wouldn't have wanted to see happen.
I suppose just to put it into context, Claire, I was in a fortunate position that it was able to bring in extra funding for the National Parks and Wildlife Service in terms of its own resources, staffing complement, and a whole renewal process to help it make it fit for purpose for the big nature restoration task ahead. Separate to that, capital funding, I was able to secure additional capital funding over successive budgets. And over the 5-year period that I was there, the state would have spent about a little over 30 million on land. This is high nature value land, land for conservation and for restoration, but a little over 7,000 acres in total, and represented an average cost per acre of about 4,200 euros. So it's good value for money from the point of view of the state.
But have you pushed young farmers out of doing business here?
No, that's never the intention. And if anything, I think, and particularly Natura farmers should see this as an opportunity. One of the big challenges we have, particularly up around the West, is actual land abandonment, where there's a real serious issue with succession. I know the government is taking that through the generational renewal process, but it is a really significant challenge. And when the state buys land, it does so, it has a remit to do so, because we do have a relatively small amount of land in sum total of of the land that is available for nature restoration throughout the country. And you look at the success stories across the country, such as the Corncrake Life Programme, such as the Burren and the Loch Ree project with the Breeding Waders, where there are local landowners participating in schemes run by the National Parks and Wildlife Service. They're getting results-based payments, average payments of $7,000 to $10,000 a year to be involved in active restoration. And I think that's the future. And I think the Natural Hill farmers in particular should see this as a positive thing.
But you heard Phelim saying there that they have had numerous reports of people not being able to buy land that they wanted to get their hands on to carry out their livelihood to farm because the state was buying up that land. Is that happening?
So my understanding of it is no. And certainly when the NPWS went out to look at parcels of land where they had a potential to extend out a national park or a nature reserve, or as the case up in North Kilkenny, where we had a brand new nature reserve, a beautiful semi-natural grassland up in Galesale. And the state is not going to invest in land that isn't of too high a value. So they look at its intrinsic value for nature and will do so on a site by site basis based on value for money. And I do think that the important thing here is that there's potential for farmers in the West and all over the country to participate, and you know, the wider generational renewal piece around local economies where you're extending national parks, you need trails, you need tracks, you need infrastructure put in, which involves local contractors, conservation grazing,
okay,
and
but
the
Phelim,
opportunity
yeah,
Phelim, for farmers to be involved.
Phelim, you say there's another way to cut this, and that that the state shouldn't come in here and buy the land, that the farmers should continue to own the land, but there should be a better system of cooperation.
Yeah, and if you just look at the one of the calls that we have made recently is that there would be an upland farming research centre established in the country. Now, there was an upland research centre in the Nan, which was shut down a number of years ago. And there's a similar type of a facility in Glenhuery and Antrim. And they're actually proven that the farming systems that are employed by all the farmers down along the West are actually beneficial for biodiversity. There's studies have actually been carried out on that. So, you know, this land doesn't actually have to be bought over by the state in order to carry out measures for biodiversity. That actually should be done as part of the farming system. Mm-hmm. And it's been proven. And there was a report done for the European Agricultural Committee, which stated that there was an excess of 60 habitats that actually benefited from the normal farming practices. So yeah. Therefore, the whole issue about biodiversity and that is actually encompassed in the farming practices that are normal in this type of land along the West.
Let the farmers at it is what you're saying, despite some ecologists arguing that if you have sheep grazing on hills, that's bad for nature because they crop the vegetation so close to the ground that nothing can grow.
No, well, actually, the research that has been carried out now, and as I mentioned about the research that was carried out for the EU Agricultural Committee, and that was around the threats arising from the abandonment of ANC-type land. And what actually stated was that the grazing systems that were in practice there were beneficial to the habitat. So from the point of view, I mean, sheep have actually been farmed in Ireland for thousands of years, and there was no difficulty. So that position there, in fact, that's actually the opposite of the case, because one of the big difficulties that we're facing now, and Malcolm will be aware of this, is the deer roaming wild, and they're creating massive damage to habitats.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
well, Malcolm, what do you say to that? Malcolm, sheep, do they do a lot of damage environmentally? Or is it the deer?
They do, but they certainly do. But I do think that there is a management way of, and I think Phelim is absolutely right in terms of an upland farming research centre. I think that idea conservation grazing plays a really, really important role in upland management and in management of our precious semi-natural grasslands across the country. So I do think that's important. Through the Nature Restoration Plan, there is an opportunity for upland hill farmers to participate in schemes. And I talk about, I mentioned the Cullahill Mountain SSE, where we did purchase a site there in North Kilkenny, and we have Dexter cattle in grazing on there. They graze in the winter and plough up the seed bank for a beautiful, beautiful wildflower meadow in the spring and summer. So there's fantastic opportunity. And I agree wholeheartedly with Phelan in relation to the issue with deer. And we did, in the last government, set up a deer management forum. We have set out a plan to have culling teams across the country. Deer do need to be managed. But I think the issue that Phelan is speaking about is absolutely correct. We need farmers on the land, we need active farming, and we need grazing animals. Mm-hmm. But it's the management systems that we are deploying at the moment that are not
working. But you are at odds. You are saying that farmers can work together with the National Parks and Wildlife Service on
this.
Absolutely. But Phelan's substantive point is that the National Parks and Wildlife Service is undermining access to land for young farmers, these purchases that they're making.
I disagree. As I said, it's a relatively small amount of land in the scheme of things that NBWS has purchased. It's been in a fortunate position that we're able to provide the funding for the first time in a long, long time that they're able to. We have two new national parks, the first two in many decades. And I think the land we have set aside for nature is relatively small in the scheme of things. So this is about, and this is something that Owen Murphy up in Loughrea knows about well, because he talks about it, about collaborative conservation. It's about farmers being able to work side by side with professional conservationists, with the National Parks and Wildlife Service, to restore nature at scale, to reconnect our habitats. I think that's the really important point here. That one thing I would say is that we had a Climate Nature Fund to help support the Nature Restoration Plan. It seems to have disappeared into Metro North. So I would say that INHFA should be working with us to campaign for that fund. We need money to do it, and we need certainty and long-term schemes mm-hmm. that farmers can be involved in.
Well, Phelan, on that point, would you be happy to see that money diverted off elsewhere?
And this is an issue that it's only in the last few days that we've been dealing with this. When the Nature Restoration Law was being processed through Europe, there was an understanding. And in fact, there were statements from politicians to the fact that there was going to be something in the region, maybe $3 billion, to actually support the rollout of this Nature Restoration Law. As of today, there's no indication if there's any budget at all available for this. And Malcolm has outlined a lot of the issues there that we actually would actually agree with. But unless you actually incentivize the farmers, and this is not just an issue about farm, but it's an issue about maintaining population in rural Ireland, because there is a huge threat to the populations. If the farming systems that were the backbone of economic activity down the years, if that is actually removed. So rather than having a top-down approach, there needs to be proper consultation and collaboration with the farmers to actually promote this whole idea of nature restoration. But just to go back on a point that Malcolm is making about a small area of land, the reality is that it's recognised that the average farm size in Ireland is approximately about 75 acres. So if there's a plot of land, maybe 10 or 15 acres coming available, and that is bought up by an adjacent farmer, that can have a significant impact on the economic outcome for that farmer. So just because there's small areas doesn't mean that it is actually having a massive negative impact on the economic ability of that farmer to provide for themselves and their families.
Malcolm, you wanted to come back in there for a last word.
Yeah, I find myself agreeing with everything that Phelan is saying here. The core point around the NPWS buying land, I think it is absolutely essential that the state is in the position to purchase land for nature restoration. Separately, the fund is vitally important. We left that fund in the last government, that 3.15 million Climate and Nature Fund. About 650 million was a starting point to work with nature restoration. When we brought the Nature Restoration Plan to Europe and brought it over the line, we did so with a promise that farmers would be supported with long-term schemes to do this. Separately, we're going to have the EU budget, the 2027-35 budget, rated for other things. So I do think it's really important that we work together to try and ensure that there is adequate funding in place to support young farmers coming into schemes, long-term schemes that they can be happy to participate in, working for co-benefits of nature, water and climate. Right.
Thank you both for joining us this morning. Malcolm Noonan from the Green Party and Fela Malloy, who's president of the Irish Natura Hill Farmers Association.